And then God began to give me words of knowledge. I didn't start out with a prophetic flow that I have today, but it didn't take that long because I was submitting to training and I was willing to go to the school of the prophets. And you're going to have to do these things. Nobody is just born a minister. In fact, the Bible says, you know, disciples are made, not born. You're born a Christian, but you have to be make disciples. So you're going to have to submit to that process. But let me tell you some of the fruit when you do. I began to get words of knowledge about people being healed. And I got myself connected with people that believed in healing, first of all, mentored by those people. One of them was Joan Giesen on Benny Hinn's prayer teams. And you know, I realize that these people are imperfect too, but that's what we've got to get over in the body of Christ, expecting people to be perfect. And just believe that God is willing to work through any of us because He loves the people we're praying for. And I begin to get words of knowledge and like, you know, if you will forgive this person, you can be healed. And I saw someone instantly healed who'd been in a wheelchair. Instantly, I think it took 10 minutes, who'd been in a wheelchair 37 years. I saw someone else healed who'd had rheumatoid arthritis and their legs were not working. They were just bent up. And I saw two people in those early years just run up and down the stairs. Just instantaneous healing. Hallelujah. I saw someone who had such bad brain damage that they you know, couldn't even keep their eyes. Their eyes floated around, and having been a neurointensive nurse, I was familiar with these things. I knew that the extent of the damage in this person in the wheelchair was very, very serious, not just physically in their body, but in their brain. And I saw him not only be able to focus with his eyes, but he began to reach, and he was doing purposeful movement that meant that the brain and the hand were connecting just within like a minute. It's the supernatural power of God that's being poured out today. It's really got nothing to do with me. In the restoration prayer ministry that I began in Florida, just began flat-footed, you know, just one night was in nursing and I had been preparing my files, I had been preparing and studying, I had been mentored, I had been trained, but when it came to actually start it, you know, I just believed God. I said, I'm going to walk through that window of opportunity like Martin Luther just said, walk through it by faith. And the day I said that was actually the anniversary of Martin Luther's faith proclamations. And God gave me wonderful people to start off with. I had a professor at, you know, FSU who was also referring me to other people. And I can't tell you names, I'm sorry. But I was able to work with a woman who was head of a very strong administrator there in the city. And she has her own prayer ministry. I worked with another woman who was the wife of a district attorney in a nearby city, and she has her own ministry now, and it's just such a pleasure to see it multiply this. One of my students was an attorney in town, and he has his own ministry. In fact, he was a teacher in his denomination, but he didn't know Christ. And he came forward at the end of 8 weeks of class and said, you know, I don't know Christ in me the way you do. I want it. And he didn't even know any Christianese to say it with. We've been teaching Christ in you for 8 weeks. I was able to work with people that were handicapped, that could hardly see. And, you know, like I've said, if you want to pray for the blind, you've got to go find them. They can't find you. And to get them free of the crutches that they were leaning on because they couldn't enjoy the world in normal Christian ways, they thought they couldn't, but to set them free from their captivity. I began to start the Elijah House course. I just put a two-sentence ad for free in the religious section of a paper and said that the Elijah House course was starting. So here's the, you know, the prophetic declaration. I said it's starting in December of this year, and the location will be announced, because I didn't have a location. And so pastors began to call. I had two to volunteer to host the Elijah House, and that's one way to find a way to begin. Just go ahead and put it in the free section that God said it's going to happen and see who calls. I knew that people would also call to be members of it, and they did. I began to work with people that referred to me that were caught in addiction, and I've already shared with you how difficult that is, but it was such a pleasure to see the improvement in their life. And other people that were, like one that was in defects. Well, of course, she's affecting all kinds of children and their parents. She is such a joy, such a she just has such a glow about her because she knows who she is in Christ now, and she was such a performer before, just performing for people's approval. And here she is working it through a government agency. But you know, if you really have the demonstration of God's love and acceptance on your face, you don't have to mention Jesus a lot. People will ask you, amen. And then there were others, like survivors of ritual abuse. I've worked with, I won't even say how many, it's a good many, that were raised to be like regional brides of Satan or whatever. But God had a plan for them, their lives, and they were rescued. And then they come to me because they've gotten out of the Satanism. But how do they get the Satanism out of them? And then there were others that were, like one was a child during the Holocaust and had experienced so much trauma during that time. It affected her life in many compulsive ways, and her relationships weren't working too well. And she came to me, and I just appreciated her perseverance, even though she wasn't any spring chicken by then, and still wanting to get free. And that's what I'm telling you. Even if they look like somebody that might not be the type that would want what you're offering in Jesus, they do. They do. There were many others. There were, I was recommended. I got that favor from my pastor after teaching the Elijah House course in his church for 9 months. I got the favor of being recommended to be a teacher at the Center for Biblical Studies. And in so doing that, I was able to affect lots and lots of people through teaching the Elijah House course and other seminars there. And God was just so faithful, because I would tell them, like I've told you, that I was the woman at the well. But people want to hear the gospel from real people who've been through real trials. And then there were others that networked for me, if you might say, that they knew that it was their gifting to call people in, to invite them to seminars, to invite them to church, to invite them for healing or invite them for training. And then there was a nurse who had the gift of encouragement, exhortation. And that's what I'm saying, that you need to find out what your signature strengths and your spiritual gifts are and go with those. Know that God has done it supernaturally to put that in you. And He has a plan that He's perfectly designed you and the gifts and the strengths to fulfill His will. Then there were others, like one was a massage therapist, and she's professionally gifted in the areas of healing anyway, and she's just laying hands on people and praying for them day in and day out. Another one had no idea that she would be a good psychologist, and I kept encouraging her that she would, and usually, you know, I'm not recommending that people just do a secular psychology where you're just identifying the problem, basically, and learning to cope with it or manage it. But she is combined what she learned with what she also learned as she got her doctorate, and now has an effective ministry as well. There are others who were, for instance, well, I'll have to say it, that they were ministered to in a way that was spiritually abusive, that someone pretended to have a word of knowledge and told them they had cancer when they didn't. Now, we need to be very careful when we say, "Thus saith the Lord," that we are hearing from the Lord, because to ascribe what is of the Lord to the devil is blasphemy, but we don't want to ascribe what's of the devil to being of the Lord either. And I was even able to go, even as a young person, well, not so young, I guess, I was a student, put it that way, it was over 10 years ago, and go to that person and correct that word, even though I was still a student, and ask them, "Is it true that you have this cancer?" And they were like, "No, not that I know of." And I said, "What you do have, I believe I hear the Lord saying, what you do have is a lump in your breast." And they said, "That's absolutely right. I went to the doctor and found out that's true." And so then we're able to encourage those that have been discouraged by spiritual abuse and the misuse of gifts, or maybe that was divination, and to encourage them that there is a Spirit of the Lord that does do spiritual gifts correctly, and it does encourage us, it does build us up, it doesn't give us new worries like in her case. And then there were others that came for prophetic ministry. Week after week, we used to prophesy to anyone that would come and make an appointment on Friday nights. And we didn't know them and they didn't know us, but they heard of how God was pouring out not only dreams and visions, but the prophetic word through men and women. And so I was ahead of one of those teams, and I would have a team of people, and they would just put people in front of us, and we would believe God, that God has an encouraging word for anyone, anyone. There just isn't anybody that God doesn't have a word for. Now, I didn't try to give directive or corrective words to just anyone because I wasn't in their chain of authority. But I was authorized. I was not usurping authority at all. I was authorized by my leadership to do this. And then there were others that we were able to just sow seeds into through that prophetic word that I didn't realize it at the time, but they were actually representing believers and ministries in cities that I would live in or states that I would live in the future. And it looks so neat to me as I look back and see that God had me sowing seeds before I even got there. Then there were others that were volunteers that continued to minister back to us. And it's so precious to us because, you know, we all need encouragement. Whether you're the consider yourself the follower or the future leader or the present leader, we all need encouragement. And so some of those people that we sowed into back then are still encouraging us with testimonies, with an occasional offering, or by referring other people. Then there were others whose divorce was basically prevented because they went through restoration prayer ministry. And the devil had tugged on some of their lusts or some of their strongest temptations to try to break up their marriage. One woman, who I'm happy to say is doing well, you realize that all of these are connected to each other, they're individual people, was a MSW. She was a social worker, and I was able to minister to her and help her to minister more effectively, even with the confines of her license there. One was very good at street ministry, and God has taken that willingness on her part to minister to people right in her neighborhood and on the street and through her small business that she had, and now she's training in ministry training school to be a chaplain. And I just praise God to have an opportunity to be involved in all that. Another woman was bulimic, had been. She got a lot of strokes in the media for staying as thin as she was because she was a figure on TV. But she knew that she was sick, and she came for restoration prayer ministry. And I just applaud any of you who are constantly praised for being as thin as you are. But when you realize it's sick the way you're doing it, that you will look to Jesus for the answers. There are others that were in a mainline denomination that did not believe in healing, did not believe in the gifts, who began to look past the walls of the church and to also believe what the Word says, and were able to set them free, and they began to enjoy operating in their gifts. Another woman that we were able to minister to, who had been through quite a bit of trauma, she and her mother went on to be missionaries in South America, and that was such a blessing to know that we were sowing seeds there. Also, sometimes when you're not even trying to minister, you are. One of the emails that I forwarded, and I seldom do that, I try to only send you original works, was on aspartame poisoning. Some of you that are addicted to diet drinks and artificial sweeteners. And I sent out the symptoms and all, an article on aspartame poisoning. And two of my own clients wrote back. And one said that they'd been diagnosed with seizures. And the other one said they'd been diagnosed with MS, I think it was. And that it was a false diagnosis, that it was actually aspartame poisoning. And so God will use you to give words of wisdom to people when you don't even realize you're doing it. Others, one of my favorite clients and students, was a person that had just come from a rough environment herself. She was excellent at street ministry. Everybody in town loved her. Now that's amazing. She talked about Jesus. She went up to people and actively blessed them all the time. They couldn't hate her. They couldn't hate her. They knew that she had come from the street, but she didn't leave the street and become too good to be true. You know, she continued to love on people. Then we had an opportunity to sow seeds in the islands, and that was particularly interesting. You know that some people will pay like $1,100 just to fly to get restoration ministry and come back home again, not counting, you know, what offerings they might give us. But they want to be free. And so don't let them fool you. They may look like a professional, you know, high up in the CEOs or something like this person was. But they want to be free. They want to be free. And then there are others that had been plagued by attractions to the same sex and were very distressed about that, and they didn't feel it was compatible with their values as a Christian, and they came to get free. And we don't try to run people down and tell them what they should do, but we're so happy to work with those who want to be free. Then there were others that were like had a doctorate in children's counseling, who was able to not only come for the 6 restoration prayer ministry sessions, but many follow-up sessions, and just learn more and more and more. And it's such a pleasure to meet, to know that she can pass those things on to the children. Then there were others, like women that were in senior pastor positions, who needed to work through their own issues because now they're a senior pastor to help everyone else with their issues. And there were others, like one was a head of a Spiritist church, or assistant pastor in a Spiritism church, and she had many powers. She knew all about gifts. She knew all about false gifts and false discernment and deliverance and all these things, and she was able to teach me so much as I helped her get free. There were others that were, say, on probation. We worked with people that were on probation, people that were in jail ministry. At 1 year of our ministry, we spent, that was after Mary Lou, that we spent parts of 4 days a week in other towns every week for a year or 9 months, something like that, 9 months, teaching in jails and prisons. And that's how restoring the Christian family became so popular. We were not only teaching it like in a church and places like that, but in prisons, and the prison ministry grabbed hold of it, and it's become a required video series for people to watch in prisons. Not all of them, obviously, but we have lots and lots of testimonies that I want to share with you. Others were volunteers, like we had a volunteer for Operation Blessing, and as he came for a month of internship, then he was able to take what he had learned back to Operation Blessing. And you know, those people are stressed out trying to help all those people in the heat down there in Louisiana. Then there were other people that came that weren't actually in a Christian belief system. One person came, and after he applied and came to me, he said, "I'm a Mormon, is that a problem?" And I said, "Well, it's not to Jesus." I said, "We will be praying everything in the name of Jesus." He said, "That's fine." And wouldn't you know that God had given me my assistant that week was someone from out of town who had extensive knowledge of Mormonism. Some of you may not realize that the Illuminati, that's part of the Satanism, the New World Order, takes credit for having formed Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness. So if you're one of those, you may want to look that up on the internet. Because this person was quite sure that that was true, because he knew that his family was not only in charge of the local Satanism, but in charge of the Mormonism too. Don't know that that's the case everywhere. Don't take offense. You know, churches are different in every denomination everywhere you go. But we need to be discerning. Hallelujah. Then there were, we've had leaders and professors from other countries come that want restoration ministry. Prayer ministry. I'm getting so excited, I'm stumbling over my words, and they want to come for internship. You know, when a recent speaker, a prophetic speaker, spoke at the UN, that many people were slain in the spirit and just fell out on the floor. Well, does that need to happen every time? No, but I'm so glad it happened at the UN, because they went back to their nation saying, there's more, and they want it. One of the people that I worked with was a nurse in a geriatric hospital. And so there she is, sowing the seeds with people that are in the last years of their life and maybe some of their last opportunities to hear the gospel. So I was so glad to have a part in that. One of our board members, in fact, has a ministry in a girls' home and with troubled girls. And she gets to sow seeds and demonstrate the love of Jesus and the consistency that Jesus can give a person when they know that they haven't been able to be consistent and are in trouble. Others were in more trouble, like one lady that I worked with that people would call her a crackhead. Now, we've learned that that's a false identity statement, amen? But she was fairly fresh off of crack, and also, I believe, had multiple personalities, and it was a big challenge. It was a big challenge, but it was also a good training experience. For those of you that come for internships, and as you get to sit with me while we do restoration prayer ministry for others, then you'll see that we get very interesting, challenging people, because I just love people. I think everybody's interesting, and God's just letting them be more and more interesting, because in these last days, in this third great awakening, people are beginning to come out of the woodwork. saying, I need work. And they do. There were others that were maybe elders in churches and held prominent positions, but they would come and they'd say, somehow this witchcraft is coming into my home, or somehow this lust or this adultery, or and they write me all the time. They write me all the time. And if you think there's not a need for you to step out in this and to get more training, I wish you could just come for internship just for 1 month and hear the desperate cries of people who want to be a demonstration of Jesus Christ instead of the inconsistency and the sin that they're demonstrating right now. Some of the people that come don't tell me. They decide they're not going to tell me, and I don't blame them. They don't know me, and they're coming to a stranger's house, and so they're checking me out. And so God has me tell them what their issues are. You should see how big their eyes get when they haven't told me, for instance, that they have multiple personalities, and I won't say anything. I don't believe in unmasking people if they're not ready to tell you. But when I get to the part about asking them to pray about generational sins, I'll just kind of word it like I told you. Remember I said, would all of you be willing to pray and forgive those that abused you and abandoned you and neglected you? And they kind of look at me like, did she mean to word it that way? And I'll just smile like, yeah, I know. And then the whole atmosphere changes, because they gain confidence when God gives us words of knowledge or words of wisdom, prophetic words for them, and we not only tell them their future, but their present and their past. Then they're so excited. You think, man, some of you are thinking, I wish I could do that. Well, you can. You can. There's such a thing as prophetic schools in the Bible, and we're going to record a prophetic series here, but you can come for an internship and experience it firsthand and get that hands-on impartation. Hallelujah. I can't really explain to you what impartation is, but I know it's biblical. That Paul told Timothy, you know, stir up the gift that was in you by the laying on of hands. And so we just believe it by faith. You know how God always works through things that are hard to understand but easy to do. Then others came that, for instance, were raised in a mafia atmosphere, and they have lots of trust issues, lots of identity issues, lots of anger issues. We're able to help them, and that's been a pleasure. Others came who were disabled. Quite a few have come who are disabled. They've got lots of free time. They don't have to go out and work 40 hours a week and can't, but it doesn't mean that there's nothing that they can do. They can do plenty. And so I really love to work with disabled people, because I'm hoping they'll become volunteers for me. One person that worked with teens that I dearly loved and enjoyed was a young man who had been burned like 90% of his body, severely disfigured. He's an automatic witness no matter where he goes. You can't help but notice him. But he turns all that around and makes it a glory to God. Amen. Others were healed, even though they didn't expect it. Maybe they came expecting or wanting a healing, like one lady that came wanting a healing in her body. And God told me, you know, in the middle of the restoration prayer ministry, we're on a little break. He said, put on some music and just do a little dance to the Lord. And I said, well, God, you know, I'm always arguing with God. I said, I don't know about that, because she's from a denomination that doesn't believe in that. And God was like, when are you ever going to quit arguing with me? So I did it. I put on the music and I did a little dance to the Lord. I'm no good at choreographic dancing, but I can do a little freelance worship dance. And she had her eyes closed, and of course the devil was saying, see, she doesn't like it. But when the song was over, she looked at me and she said, I was healed during that song. Hallelujah, praise God, He does all things well, amen. Then there were others that were already in ministry, like one pastor's wife that came, who just had some issues that she needed to work through, and they were important, important issues. But now that she's done it, she and her husband have an international ministry, and if I said their names, you might recognize them, so I won't. But it's just such a pleasure to me to see how many seeds just one little housewife can sow. Then there were others that were already in more prominent positions that have very, very big brains that understand, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's technical things that are done internationally is all I can say, who, you know, maybe had sexual identity confusion and didn't really know whether they wanted to be heterosexual or what. And to get all that straightened out, and now to see that they have a happy marriage and a child. Then there are others that were having a big effect on our government, like the wife of a lobbyist came, And as you know, things are almost changing faster than we can keep track of it this day. I'm sure there's a lot that's happening that we don't know. And so to be able to sow seeds into government, see what I mean? We're not just sowing seeds into people. It's whole institutions. And I've mentioned people from education, people from churches, people from commerce, people from, in this case, the government. Then there are others, other communities and cultures, whether it's a South American culture or a Mexican culture or the black community. We have quite a few people from the black community, women pastors, men pastors who come to the classes and for restoration prayer ministry. Then some people are the wives of people that have more issues than they do, in a way, but it's just difficult being their spouse. Like one woman whose husband had serious ADD, and with that lots of ups and downs and explosions and irresponsibility. And she came to get her issues dealt with so that she could love him better. Hallelujah. I just praise God for it, her courage. Other people come because they need ministry from traumas that happened many years ago. I just applaud them when they come, because you know sometimes people put you down if you think you need ministry for something that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But I'm just happy when they do come, because Jesus isn't a time preacher and he can heal them, amen, set them free. Some people today are obsessive compulsive, and they're either cleaning all the time or hand washing all the time, or they're a neat freak or whatever, because they need healing from something that happened many, many years ago. That, you know, if it happened to them when they were 20, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But when it happens to you when you're 4, it's a big deal. Other people are already in influential positions and they come. Like one lady that's in banking who is obviously, obviously a leader from the very start. She seems to have everything together. But she began to confide in me how she didn't. And now God has just given her a true identity, and she is well on her way to becoming the leader. And she's taking those steps that I've been talking about, just becoming the leader. Other people who, through what seems like failures in their own families' lives, have gone into jail ministry and have been able to help them and to teach them, demonstrate to them, or take them along with me and teach them about jail ministry and prison ministry, which I dearly love. And then I'm also happy to say that we've gotten many referrals from other pastors, from other healing ministries, and I love it when ministers are humble and when they say, you know, this ministry here isn't the match, doesn't seem to be the match for what they need, and they're willing to send us. Maybe they do mostly small group ministry, and the person wants our one-on-one personal ministry, and they're willing to send them to us. Hallelujah. And that's what it's about. You know, that's what the Saints movement is about. It's not about us getting all the people we can and canning all the people we get and, you know, keeping them for ourselves, but helping people get to the part of the body of Christ that's got what they need. And I guarantee you, the more you sow into other ministries, the more God's going to give you favor. And so I just want you to remember that whether you're just starting or whether you've been in ministry 25 or 30 years, I had already known the Lord since I was 8, so that makes me a Christian 49 years at this point, and I'm still learning. I want to learn all the time, and I think that is a mark of humility, that's a mark of maturity, a mark of accountability, when you're willing to learn all the time. And I just want to encourage you, no matter where you are in ministry, do you know that most of the people that actually sign up for Now Faith TV Ministry Training School are already leaders? They're already in ministry. And a lot of the people that want to be ministers, they think, oh, I don't need that. I've got it made. You know, I already know. And you'll see that pride and that resistance to be mentored or to be accountable to someone. But I found that more mature people who've already been out there and knocked around by a few principalities and rulers and Sadducees and Pharisees, they realize we all need each other. And ministry training school is a wonderful thing. And I guarantee you, I made a goal last night. I said, you know, there's a religion that's very strong in this area where we live, and I don't know enough about it. I'm going to start learning about it, and I'm going to keep learning so that I can minister better to those people. And I just want to encourage you, to encourage the people around you that, obviously you're a member if you're hearing this part, but to encourage the people around you that there's always more to be learned and that we need to be prepared in these last days. There are areas that God is going to be looking to and fro for someone that will intercede, that will stand in the gap, that will minister to people, that might be a specialty that's mentioned in the Elijah House School or in this advanced training school. And you don't have to know all about it. I'm obviously not exhausting the medical knowledge that I have in a lot of these books. I'm not even trying to tell you that part. I'm trying to tell you how to believe in Christ in you, that He will give you words of knowledge. He will give you words of wisdom and prophetic words to go with a little bit of natural knowledge that I can give you, and that you can write me, and you can call me, and we can mentor you from afar, and that we can partner together, and as you sow into us, and we'll sow into you, and His glorious riches will begin to strengthen you and flow through you to others, and you will be rooted and grounded and established in the faith, and you will be able to grasp how long and wide and high and deep and broad the love of Jesus is for people. And it will flow through you. And you know that love will overcome a multitude of shortcomings and a multitude of sins. And that's the main thing, that we will just be sold out as bondservants to Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. I respect anyone that's sold out, even if I don't agree with them. I respect people who are committed. And I hope that you'll read articles on our website like Our Commitment and what we want in mentorees and what the tenets of our faith are, and that we will hold fast to the true gospel and keep the main things the main things. You don't even see me having lessons on things just to bicker about and theological debate and fights over gifts and stuff. But I am going to have some series on these things coming up, and I encourage you to let us know what you want those, what topics that you would like to hear most, because we want to meet real needs and real people. And we're just praying for you that you will catch the vision, that you will hear the go of the gospel, that you will believe that your main job is to believe God, to agree with His prophecy, His destiny, His calling for you, and to show up, and that Jesus Christ will do the other 98% of the work. Amen? Amen.